Welcome to the Information Systems for Business podcast. The main purpose of the podcast is to augment the book Information Systems for Business, An Experiential Approach, 5th edition, by Franz Boulanger, Craig Van Slyke, and Rob Crossler. The book is published by Prospect Press. I'm your host, Craig Van Slyke. This episode is for the 5th edition of the textbook. Before we get started, I wanted to give a couple of disclaimers. The podcast purposely omits many details to get to the high points of each chapter, so listening to the podcast is not a substitute for reading the book. Each episode contains my view of the most important points of each chapter. Your professor may have a different view of what's important. The podcast is solely my responsibility, so any errors are on me, not my co-authors, your professors, Prospect Press, or my employer. All right, enough with the disclaimers. Let's get to the good stuff. In this episode, we provide an overview of the most important points from Chapter 6, Transmitting Information. The focusing story for Chapter 6 is about how mobile Wi-Fi hotspots enable internet connectivity in places where you might not have access to regular Wi-Fi or a wired internet connection. A private hotspot uses a cellular connection to create a private connection to the internet. By the way, because I live in a rural area, internet access is sometimes a problem. So, occasionally, I have to use a hotspot for internet access when there's an issue with my main internet service provider. You may have experienced the same thing. Mobile phone-based hotspots are convenient, but sometimes have limited speed and will drain a phone's battery. Dedicated devices can also be used as hotspots. Hotspots can be internet lifelines for people in rural areas or other areas with poor internet connectivity, like where I live. The internet has changed the way much of the world lives and works. Although disconnected devices can still be useful, when we connect a computer to a network, a computer's usefulness goes up dramatically. The purpose of Chapter 6 is to help you understand some basics of how this connectivity works by describing some fundamental networking technologies and methods. There's a lot of detail in Chapter 6, so you really need to read the book. Yeah, I know, nag, nag, nag. Chapter 6 starts off by defining computer networks as a collection of interconnected devices. I'll give a more detailed definition later. After the focusing story, Chapter 6 briefly describes some important network devices. This is followed by a discussion of some of the different types of networks used by individuals and organizations. Next, the chapter covers the internet, which is a network of networks. The next section describes networking architectures, which are layouts of how connected devices are supposed to work together. The chapter closes with discussions of Web 2.0 and Web 3.0. Here are the main points from Chapter 6. A computer network is a collection of interconnected devices that allow users and systems to communicate and share resources. A variety of components are used to create a network. A router is an intelligent device that controls the flow of transmissions in and out of a network and routes traffic to the appropriate devices. Network interface cards provide networks with physical access to a device. Your computer has a network interface card, although sometimes it's stored on a chip rather than on an expansion card. Repeaters retransmit a data signal they receive after eliminating noise in the signal and boosting the signal's strength. There are several ways to categorize networks. Two important ways concern whether physical connections are used and the extent of the network's coverage. Wired networks use physical wires such as Ethernet cables, coaxial cables, and fiber optic cables, while wireless networks use frequencies to transmit data. The familiar Wi-Fi networks are wireless, as are cellular networks and Bluetooth. Bluetooth is used over short distances. Networks can also be classified based on the area they cover. Local area networks, or LANs, connect devices in a limited geographic area, usually less than 5 kilometers, while wide area networks, or WANs, connect devices over large geographic areas. The Internet is a publicly accessible worldwide network of networks that uses a specific set of rules called protocols to ensure that the devices connected to the networks can communicate. Internet backbones carry most of the traffic on the Internet. Every computer that is a full participant in the Internet has a unique address called an IP address. IP stands for Internet Protocol. IPv4 uses four sets of numbers for each address, such as 128.192.68.1, while IPv6 uses six sets of numbers. IPv6 also allows bigger numbers. There are many Internet-based applications. The World Wide Web, or the Web, is technically an application using the Internet as its network. The Web and the Internet are not the same thing. The Web runs over the Internet. Other Internet-based applications include email, instant messaging, video conferencing like Zoom, among many others. See Table 6.3 for more examples. Sometimes people confuse the Internet with intranets. An intranet is a non-public network that uses Internet protocols, the rules, for communication. The Internet of Things, or IoT, uses the Internet to connect physical, everyday objects. You'll read quite a bit about IoT throughout the book. Network architectures are essentially blueprints for how network devices are supposed to work together. Network architectures are implemented as specific network infrastructures. Think of the architecture as the plan and the infrastructure as the implementation of that plan. Client-server architectures distribute processing and storage tasks between two types of systems, clients and servers. Clients make requests, and servers respond to those requests. This might make more sense if you take a look at Figure 6.6. There's a pretty useful diagram there. With peer-to-peer architectures, all systems are equal, acting as both clients and servers, sharing resources with one another. Cloud computing is a computing model in which an organization or individual rents computing resources from online providers rather than managing those resources locally. You probably use a number of cloud-based services such as Google Docs, Google Drive, Dropbox, iCloud. There are lots of others. There are several other architectures mentioned in the book, but you'll need to check those out for yourself. Web 2.0 refers to the second generation of the Internet, which added interactivity. Users became creators of Internet content through things like blogs, wikis, and social networking services. Web 3.0 is emerging. The distinguishing characteristic of Web 3.0 is computer systems starting to understand the meaning of the information and data they contain. Well, that's all for Chapter 6. Like I said, this chapter has a lot of detail, so surprising no one, I urge you to read the book. Talk to you next time.